International events over the last few days have continued to surprise politicians and pundits alike. Today, there are anti-government protests across Russia, and the British Prime Minister is trying to figure out how to move forward with Brexit negotiations after last week's vote. And for more on all of this and other world events coming up this week, we're joined now by our colleague at the BBC, Rob Hugh-Jones. And Rob, the UK election was a big story last week, and it's still a big story this week. Tell us why.
Lauren, it's an amazing election, this one. You just go back by about a month. Theresa May, our Prime Minister here in Britain, was more than 20 points ahead in the polls. She was coasting. She had a whopping great parliamentary majority, not a massive one, but certainly enough to drive through her legislation in Parliament and as she faced the Brexit talks, the talks of Britain leaving the EU. So she was in a comfortable position. She used that to call a snap election, thinking she could increase her majority significantly. The opposition was in disarray. She thought she'd do great. Exactly the reverse happened. It backfired. She is now leading a minority government. It's unexpected. It's remarkable. And this can be heard in her voice on the night that the results came through. Listen to how flat she sounds.
If, as the indications have shown, if this is correct, that the Conservative Party has won the most seats and probably the most votes, then it will be incumbent on us to ensure that we have that period of stability, and that is exactly what we will do.
Now, this is somebody who's just about to win an election, who has the most seats in Parliament and the most votes across the country. But because she'd lost her majority, because she lost seats, she was sounding flat there. Not just flat, but a much weaker Prime Minister. Listen to Peter Mandelson, one of the big thinkers in the opposition Labour Party in the past few years.
It's an earthquake in political terms. I certainly didn't see it coming. Very few did.
Well, if he didn't see it coming, no one did, because that's a veteran politician. This guy just watches every twist and turn. He kind of knows things before they happen. And for him, it was an earthquake. It was unexpected. So now, where are we now? Well, briefly, horse trading. How can Theresa May get her legislation through Parliament? How can she open these Brexit negotiations, which start in 1 week from today, with the kind of weak hand that she's now playing? She needs the help of other MPs from other parties in order to get any of her primary legislation through Parliament. So that's why what we're seeing right now is her horse trading like crazy with minority parties trying to get their very few MPs to bolster her, get her up to 326, the magic figure, a majority, and that's how she can push some of her laws through. Until then, she's a weak Prime Minister, and that's dangerous for Britain heading into these all-important Brexit negotiations.
Right. And we've also heard some reports that President Trump may not be coming to the UK on a state visit. What do you know now?
Well, if you look at the Guardian newspaper this morning, the headline, "Trump put state visit on hold over protest fears." What it says is Mr. Trump told Theresa May, our Prime Minister here, in a phone call that he doesn't want to go ahead with the state visit to Britain until the British public supports him coming. It appears that he's worried about large-scale protests if he comes. By the way, the source for this is a Downing Street advisor who was in the room, so we're talking about an unnamed source in what is a very liberal newspaper, The Guardian, so take it all with a bit of a pinch of salt. But still, it's a state visit. He was invited by the Queen. He accepted. The invitation was put to him when Theresa May visits him in Washington 7 days after his inauguration, and it would be unprecedented for a foreign leader to pull out of a trip like that, having accepted it for those kinds of reasons. So we're going to watch out for that. I should just say that US administration officials have told the BBC the president, quote, does not feel like visiting the UK anytime soon.
And let's turn our attention quickly to Russia. There are protests there today. What are those about?
Well, this is a big one. Alexei Navalny is the principal opposition figure in Russia. He's called protests today. Hundreds of people appear to have been arrested. There have been protests in places like St. Petersburg, out in the east of Russia, in Vladivostok, and in Moscow, where our correspondent Sarah Rainsford joined them.
It is a very peculiar kind of protest. It's an illegal demonstration. We hear the loudspeakers here proclaiming every few seconds that this is an illegal protest and that people should not be taking part in it. But still, the crowds are continuing to pour into this area.
And many of the demonstrators chanting, "Putin is a thief and Russia will be free." Why are they saying that, Lauren? Because Navalny is expected to throw his hat into the ring and try and fight Vladimir Putin in the presidential elections next year. I should say there is a case of embezzlement against him, which may preclude him from doing that. But of course, his fans will say that is politically motivated. So anyway, we're watching today to see what happens. But this guy is a significant figure on the political stage in Russia.
And on Friday of this week, it's been reported that President Trump will lay out his policy on Cuba. So what's the feeling in Cuba now about what the president might say?
Well, as you know, President Obama rolled the policy back with Cuba. He normalized relations really with Cuba after 60 years of hostility. And in 2014, he normalized diplomatic relations. He even reopened the embassy in Havana. He went a long way, basically, in normalizing relations. Now we see Mr. Trump and on the campaign trail saying that Mr. Obama went too far. So as with other policies from Mr. Trump, it may not be that he throws the whole thing out. It may be that he looks to water it down a bit and bring some of those people who are against that policy on side. Now, we've checked with our correspondent Havana. The big feeling on the ground there is that a lot of Cubans are now doing very well out of the travel industry. There are huge numbers now of US citizens coming across to Cuba in a way that they couldn't before and enjoying their time there, spending dollars there. And of course, that's pumping up the local economy. And people want that to continue. So the big fear there right now, given that the economic blockade is still on Cuba, but the travel blockade isn't, is that that is the area that a lot of Cubans are going to suffer in, because they're simply not going to see the same numbers of Americans coming off the cruise ships and the aircraft. So that's one big thing we're going to be watching.
The BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. Rob, thanks as always.
Thank you.
And you're listening to the show.